Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable.
Thanks for joining us at the Roundtable. So listeners may know that sometimes we interview creative artists as part of our podcast. Well, today I am putting our own Alice Cavanaugh-Scober in the hot seat.
Ouch.
Because Alice has just released a new book. The title is Naked in Wonderland, Volume 4, The First 404 Days, Poetry and Art in the Time of COVID-19. Welcome, Alice.
Well, thank you for having me. It's so weird to be, how I say this, on this side of the round table, but I'm very excited and I'm actually a little bit nervous, so bear with me.
Just a direct note to the listeners. It was my idea to flip the table or the round table on Alice. By now, you may feel that you know her pretty well due to we have deep, sometimes very personal conversations on our podcast, especially as we analyze books and themes. Her personality, her deeply considered viewpoints, they just shine through as we talk. But it occurred to me, you listeners may not know Alice, the creative artist. And this was a great opportunity here upon the release of a new book to talk about those things. So Alice, you get to take off your hat.
Put that one off, put this one on.
That's right.
I'm ready. I don't really get a chance to talk about my own artwork and writing very much, because with Community Education Arts, you and I both get so busy with what we're doing for that, for our nonprofit, that we tend to, you know, just slide right over our own endeavors. But hey, I'm gonna turn the tables on you pretty soon and I'm gonna interview you, so watch out, world.
Payback is,
it's wonderful. It'll be wonderful. It'll be great. If nothing else, we have a lot of fun, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So first off, Alice, why don't you share a little bit about your arts journey? Obstacles, discouragement, some highlights.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty easy question to answer. And that's one of our basic questions when we interview artists for CE Arts. My arts journey is actually kind of like a lot of people's. I've been artistic my whole life, as far as, you know, writing or trying to create visual artwork. I think my first, I actually have a show and tell. Hold on. This is so funny. I forgot I had this right here. I found this the other day in one of the boxes here at home, and I'm not sure if you'll be able to see it, but this is a very old framed, and I think it says on the back what it was in Columbus, Georgia. It was framed by Cliff Carter's Fine Arts. This is a poem that I wrote in 1972. I consider this my very first poem. I'll read it for you, because why not, right?
Please do.
It's called The Prospector, and you should know that as a child and into my adult life, rocks are a passion. I used to just love to take walks. My dad actually bought me a rock hound hammer. And no matter where we drove, where we went, that hammer was always with me, and I would be digging up rocks wherever we were. So here's my poem. I saw an old prospector down by the road with a tired old donkey carrying the load. When I saw that old prospector, I said, I will stuff information into my head about rocks, stones, minerals too. All I will need is a pair of overalls and a worn-out pair of shoes, and then I will be a prospector down by the road. And everyone will see a prospector's life is the life for me. And I signed it Alice Cavanaugh, 1972. And I could tell you right now, I had the worst handwriting as a child, still do. And I can remember my mom and dad, you know, having me write out my poem over and over and over, because they were so disappointed in my handwriting, but they wanted to frame it. And I don't even know how many writings later that actual one is, but it was just like, oh God, why did I write this poem? You know? But that was me in 1972, and I was born in 63, so I would have been, what, 9? I think I was 8 when I wrote it, and they decided mm-hmm. to get it framed when I was 9. So yeah. That's how long I've been writing poetry. Mm-hmm. Not all of it's good, obviously. And we used to always, my parents were both very artistic, and we used to always color and coloring books and things like that. And coloring inside the lines was a huge thing. I mean, I was not ever a careful colorer. I was, and that used to drive my parents crazy because they were both very, my mom actually had gone to Portland State University as, you know, in art, and she was, she painted in oils, and my dad never had training in art as for school or anything, but he was a wonderful artist, and they both were kind of, you know, old school color inside the lines, and I was just so messy. I was terrible. And so my childhood art stuff was always kind of like couched in this air of disappointment, you know, because it wasn't right, you know, I didn't do it right. But despite that, they were both very supportive of being creative, and, you know, drawing I didn't do painting when I was little because we just didn't have paints, but and so anyway, so my art soul is very old from my childhood. But as far as like actually turning to the arts in a more professional way, that I came to very late in life. I was in school for my academics focused first on English literature, and then eventually I got a master's degree in anthropology with a minor in geography. And then I was in a PhD program for applied linguistics and this is all later in life after I'd had children and been divorced. So I was one of those kind of students that, you know,
non-conventional,
non-traditional. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so I was in my, I want to say my 30s. And when I was doing this, my mid to late 30s, when I was getting my degrees. And then I was diagnosed with my heart problems. Now, you know, and some of our audience knows that I've had lifelong lung disease that's incurable and very rare. And as a child was diagnosed with a prognosis of 3 years to live. And I've heard that from every doctor I've ever had since. And here I am, next month, I'll be 58. So yay me. But yeah, so I'm very used to living with the limitations of that lung disease, which has caused a lot of obstacles for things like full-time employment and real work and stuff like that. But when I was diagnosed with my heart problems, it just, excuse me, I got the sniffles today from allergies. It just really set me back. It frightened me in a completely different way. And I think a lot of our listeners can understand if someone, a doctor says the word heart, you're like, you know, it's like, you know, because that's scary. I mean, the heart is what keeps you going, right? And the truth is that my heart problems probably are effects of having lifelong, you know, bad lungs, having lungs that don't work right, your pulmonary system, then, you know, your heart is trying harder than it normally should. And so I have chronic heart failure, which simply means my heart doesn't pump enough blood. And I get bouts of tachycardia, and I have an aortic valve leak, which is luckily enough not getting worse in any rapid way. So hopefully I won't ever have to have surgery for that, because it would be very hard for me to have that kind of surgery given my lungs and my other heart problems. It wouldn't be a good thing to have to go through. So when I got those diagnoses for my heart stuff, I think in my memory, I was on my couch for like 6 months. I just didn't move. I was afraid. I was afraid if I moved, I'd die. So, but I did end up having to leave my PhD program, giving up that dream of Dr. Cavendish, you know, Dr. Cavendish Gober, whatever, you know. And it was during that time that I'd always been writing poetry and other kinds of writings. And even by that time, I had put together my first one or two volumes of poetry that I self-published for my family, really. That's how I kind of got into the whole publishing my poetry, was just so my parents and other relatives would have a copy of my poems. But it was during that time after I got diagnosed with the heart problems that I really started turning to other kinds of art. I started painting, which I had done over the years as an adult as gifts for people. I would paint like my version of a Stevie Nicks album cover for my best friend Lorraine or something like that. You know, I would, you know, paint something as a gift for someone. And I have to say, as a self-taught artist, I'm not very good at painting anything that looks real, you know, like realistic painting of a landscape and a barn. I'm not very good at all that. I'm just not good at, I'm not, you know, like that child who scribbled outside the lines in the coloring book. I'm not a very good artist, but I did start, you know, trying to get better. And eventually I started, I joined a little art co-op in Noblesville that had a place on the square, and I sold a few pieces of my paintings and prints, and I got serious about my photography, which had always just kind of been, you know, not so serious, but bought a better camera, you know, all that kind of stuff you do. Don't know anything about photography, by the way. I just like to take pictures. And then I got juried into the Hamilton County Artists Association as a photographer first, and then as a 2D artist. And I served on their board for several years after that. And I just kind of slowly but surely started, you know, being known a little bit as this artistic person. And so that was my personal arts journey, and that kind of morphed into starting what is now Community Education Arts, which I founded and brought you in on and made you be my arts partner in crime, and here we are today. Mm-hmm. So that's right. I think obstacles wise, I have to say always obstacles are my health. You know, I spent 1 year doing festivals and fairs in the Hamilton County area, pitching my tent and, you know, selling stuff. And I always sold stuff. I always covered my booth fee and all that, but it was so physically, it was so hard that after that 1 year, I just didn't want to do it anymore. I mean, even if my husband could, you know, come early and help me set up and come after work and help me take it down, it was just, that was a long day for someone with heart and lung problems. And, mm-hmm. you know, it just, it was hard. And so I just stopped doing that. So, you know, I'm not like out there in a particular gallery or, you know, anything like that, but you can always email me, you know, and all that information will come. But yeah,
but you do have things on exhibit.
Yes, I do. Sometimes I like to work with Nickel Plate Arts because they have such great call outs with themes, and I love a themed call out, you know me, I love a theme. And even lately, they've been accepting poetry into some of their call-outs. So that's a nice switch up. Or I, you know me, I mean, we've done collaborations before between artwork and poetry. And I will write poetry about a painting I painted, or I'll paint a painting about a poem that I wrote. I mean, you know, I get inspired to do writing or artwork from music, from poetry, from whatever. And I'm not shy about saying I inspire myself across genres and mediums, you know. So which kind of leads me to Naked in Wonderland, my series of artwork and poetry books. Coming up, the next part of our interview with artist and writer Alice Cavanis Gober.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.